Thank you, Brother Dan. I appreciate those kind words, and it's good to see all of you here this evening. I'm thankful to be here. I feel humbled and thankful to be in your presence, and I appreciate your being able to willing to brave the elements once again to come out this evening on this not so nice night. But I'm happy to be here, to have the opportunity to stand before you. And I do stand in need of your prayers. I was administered to this evening. I've been feeling spiritually weak lately, and for a variety of reasons. But I trust in the Lord, and I trust in his promises, and know that the calling for the elders will produce a blessing, and I'm thankful for that ordination that we have, that ordinance of the laying on of hands, for I feel as though I'm in great need. I'm thankful to Sister Manon for the song that she picked out this evening, to our opening song. I always love that song. And I found myself not being able to sing it. Feeling overcome by the Spirit. Because the words to that song were just what I needed to hear this evening. The Lord has led me, I believe, to the sermon that I would preach this evening, and it seems as though he leads me in this direction almost every time when I stand before his people, and even more so as time goes on. My sermon will probably be a pretty sobering sermon this evening. It may not feel very uplifting, but I feel that these are some of the things that we stand in need of hearing. The Lord has said in many, many places, or several places in the Scriptures, that his Spirit will not always strive with man, and I believe that. Some of the Scriptures that I will read tonight will not seem very uplifting. They will seem to tell us of judgment that is coming upon mankind and upon this nation especially. But there is hope, and we know many things are coming upon this land, but the words that always give me hope are the words that he's given us, that the righteous need not fear. And that is what we need to be striving for as his people, is that no matter what comes upon this land or in this world, we need to be striving to trust in the Lord and to keep his commandments, that we have no need of fear of the things that are coming. I'd like to start out, just read one verse in the sixth chapter of Genesis. You don't need to turn to it. It's just a single verse. And all the scriptures that I'll be reading tonight are very familiar. They're nothing new. Very familiar scriptures to all of us. But I'd like to read just and be starting out the fifth verse of chapter 6 of Genesis. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And back in verse 3 it says, and the Lord said, I believe he was speaking to Noah, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. We know that after he uttered those words to our brother Noah, that there was no repentance found by the Lord in the earth. and every living thing was destroyed, except for Noah and his family and the living things that were taken into the ark. You know, consider the wickedness that God found in Noah's day, or for that matter, in Lot's day, in Sodom and Gomorrah. Think of these things, and in your own mind, do those conditions that the Lord found in Noah's day and in Lot's day, does it seem similar to you to the conditions that we're witnessing in the world, in our world today? And more particularly of interest to us on this nation. I think it does. I'd like to read, I'd like to read in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'd like to read verses 3 through 11. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Doesn't that sound like a mocking tone? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So the Lord is speaking to those who would be godly, those who would desire to keep his commandments and to do his will. He is long-suffering to us, and he's not willing that any should perish. But we know that in the day that we live, there are many that will not come to repentance. People say, as in verse 4, that all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, maybe some of that is true. But I think that we're seeing things coming upon this world that have never been seen before. And we know that the Lord has a time when he will not put up with it any longer. Let's go into the Book of Mormon, into 2 Nephi, chapter 12, and this will be found on page 154. Page 154. I hope you've brought your scriptures with you, because I'm very low tech. You'll never see anything up on a screen behind me, probably, unless I have a great awakening somehow. So I hope you have your scriptures if you want to follow along. On page 154, I'd like to read just verses 19 and 20. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. fully ripe. That's another phrase that's found in several places, especially in the Book of Mormon. This scripture also reminds me of Isaiah's words, where he said that in our time that they will call evil good and they'll call good evil. Just, you know, think about that. And I'm afraid those words are being brought to fulfillment as well. You know, I think we would all agree in this room that we are extremely blessed to be living on this land, in this nation. And I'm sure it makes all of us sad to see some of the things that are coming upon this nation, but we are blessed to be on this land. And you know, the Lord established this land that we are blessed to live on. He established it as His land. And He established it as a land that would be choice above all other lands. And I think we would all agree that this is a choice land above all other lands. Let's turn to, in the Bible, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 33. These are the words that are used to describe Joseph's land, which we know to be this land. Deuteronomy chapter 33, I'm just going to read verses 13 through 16. And of Joseph he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren." Joseph was given a great blessing, and this land was designated as Joseph's land, with all the blessings that the Lord proclaimed upon it. I'd like to go back into the Book of Mormon to 1 Nephi. 1 Nephi, the first chapter. And this is found on page 6. 1 Nephi, the first chapter. And I'd just like to read verses 53 and 54. This is Nephi speaking. This is before they had reached the promised land, before they had left. "And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Blessed art thou, Nephi, because of thy faith, for thou hast sought me diligently with lowliness of heart. And inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper and shall be led to a land of promise, a land which I have prepared for you, yea, a land which is choice above all other lands." And we see here that, you know, the Lord is blessing Nephi because of his great faith and his obedience to the Lord's commandments and his humility. And Nephi will be led to this choice land at the promise of the Lord. Another thing that the Lord has made clear about this land, this choice land, is that the only peoples who would possess His choice land would be those that were brought here by His hand and for His purposes. The people that would come to this land would not just arrive here by mistake, but that they would be led here by His hand and for reasons of His knowing. Let's go to 2 Nephi on page 77. 2 Nephi chapter 1, 2 Nephi chapter 1. And I'm going to start at the bottom of page 77 with verse 4. And I'm going to read through verse 15. And this is Lehi speaking. "For behold, saith he, I have seen a vision, in the which I know that Jerusalem is destroyed. And had we remained in Jerusalem, we should also have perished. But, said he, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise, a land which is choice above all other lands, a land which the Lord hath covenanted with me should be a land for the inheritance of my seed. Yea, the Lord hath covenanted this land unto me and to my children forever." The Lord has made a promise to Lehi that this will be a land of inheritance of the house of Israel. Verse 9, "And also all they which should be led out of other countries by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore I, Lehi, prophesy according to the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that there shall be none come into this land, save they should be brought by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore this land is consecrated unto him whom he shall bring. And if it so be that they shall serve him according to the commandments which he hath given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them. Wherefore they shall never be brought down into captivity. If so, it shall be because of iniquity. For if iniquity shall abound, cursed shall be the land for their sakes. But unto the righteous it shall be blessed forever." I like that last verse the best. "Unto the righteous it shall be blessed forever." The Lord has appointed that whoever would be led to this land should serve him, should serve his son, the God of this land, Jesus Christ. So the Lord has stipulated that whatsoever peoples should possess his choice land would prosper, and they would be unmolested by outside enemies so long as they kept his commandments. Let's go to 2 Nephi chapter 7, and this is found on page 113. 2 Nephi chapter 7, page 113. I'm going to start down at the bottom on with verse 17. Verse 17, and I'm going to read through verse 21. "But behold, this land, saith God, shall be a land of thine inheritance, and the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land. And this land shall be a land of liberty unto the Gentiles, and there shall be no kings upon the land which shall raise up unto the Gentiles. And I will fortify this land against all other nations, and he that fighteth against Zion shall perish, saith God. For he that raiseth up a king against me shall perish. For I, the Lord, the King of heaven, will be their king, and I will be a light unto them forever that hear my words." So the Lord is saying that he will be the one and only king upon this land, and that whosoever else would raise up a king unto this land would perish. Let's go back into 1 Nephi chapter 3, found on page 34. 1 Nephi chapter 3, page 34, and I'd like to read verses 148 through 152. And this is Nephi speaking, describing his vision that he had. Verse 148, "And it came to pass that I beheld the Spirit of God, that it wrought upon other Gentiles, and they went forth out of captivity upon the many waters. And it came to pass that I beheld many multitudes of the Gentiles upon the land of promise. And I beheld the wrath of God, that it was upon the seed of my brethren. And they were scattered before the Gentiles, and they were smitten. And I beheld the Spirit of the Lord, that it was upon the Gentiles, that they did prosper and obtain the land for their inheritance. And I beheld that they were white and exceeding fair and beautiful, like unto my people before that they were slain. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles, which had gone forth out of captivity, did humble themselves before the Lord, and the power of the Lord was with them. And of course, here we're speaking of the pilgrims and the Puritans that came to this land. They came seeking a land of freedom and liberty, a land where they could humble themselves before the Lord and serve Him. And that's what they did for many years. We know the story of these early Gentiles and how that the Lord was with them during the Revolutionary War, when they faced tremendous odds to inherit this land. And the only reason that they withstood those tremendous odds of the British was because the Lord was with them, because they had humbled themselves before Him, and they were striving to be obedient to His commandments. They didn't have the restored gospel then, but they were doing the best they could to serve the Lord with what they had. And the Lord has also promised, He's promised that should the inhabitants of His choice land fall into transgression and no longer obey His commandments, they would be destroyed from off the land if they failed to repent. The Lord's not going to stand for things to go on forever in this land in the lack of repentance from the people of this land. I'd like to go to 2 Nephi again, chapter 11. This is found on page 145. 2 Nephi, chapter 11, on page 145, I'd like to read verses 75 through 77. 75. And they sell themselves for naught, for the reward of their pride and their foolishness, they shall reap destruction. For because they yield unto the devil and choose works of darkness rather than light, therefore they must go down to hell. For the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceaseth to strive with man, then cometh speedy destruction, and this grieveth my soul. Here in this land in 2014, I'm brought to wonder how much longer the Spirit of the Lord will strive with the Gentiles of this land. Let's go to Ether. Back on page 718, this is Ether, the first chapter, verses 38 through 41 on page 718. And it came to pass, at the end of the 4 years, that the Lord came again unto the brother of Jared, and stood in a cloud and talked with him. And for the space of 3 hours did the Lord talk with the brother of Jared, and chastened him, because he remembered not to call upon the name of the Lord. 3 hours the Lord took him behind the woodshed. And the brother of Jared repented him of the evil which he had done, and did call upon the name of the Lord for his brethren which were with him. And the Lord said unto him, I will forgive thee and thy brethren of their sins, but thou shalt not sin any more. For ye shall remember that my spirit will not always strive with man. Wherefore, if ye will sin until ye are fully ripe, ye shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. Again, I ask a rhetorical question. When will this nation that we live on in this day become fully ripened in iniquity? Only the Lord knows that. The Lord had long suffering with the brother of Jared, and he chastened him for his evil or for his lack of diligence. And the brother of Jared responded with repentance. I wish I could say that we see that in this land. I think we were chastened by the Lord on September 11th, 2001. And there was some repentance in this land for a few weeks or maybe a few months. And look where we are today. How many years later? 13, 14? It seems to me, in my opinion or my observations, that if anything, things are worse in this land than they were in 2001. Again, I'm speaking in my opinion, my observations of things in this land. It appears to me that we have turned a corner in this nation. To me, it seems unlikely that the Gentiles as a whole in this land are going to repent of the grievous national sins that we commit. I see no signs of a national revival or of a return to God. The things I see in the news that I hear are only that things are going in the opposite direction. The things that are tolerated, that are even accepted with joy or with gladness, seem to be the kind of things that the Lord has told us are abominations. I don't have to repeat those things to you. You know what they are. Let's go to Alma chapter 8 on page 337. Alma chapter 8, page 337. And I'd like to read verses 27 through 31. Verses 27 through 31. Yea, well did Mosiah say, who was our last king, when he was about to deliver up the kingdom, having no one to confer it upon, causing that this people should be governed by their own voice, by their own voices. Yea, well did he say that if the time should come that the voice of this people should choose iniquity, that is, if the time should come that this people should fall into transgression, they would be ripe for destruction. And now I say unto you that well doth the Lord judge of your iniquities. Well doth he cry unto this people by the voice of his angels, repent ye, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yea, well doth he cry by the voice of his angels, that I will come down among my people with equity and justice in my hands. Yea, and I say unto you that if it were not for the prayers of the righteous which are now in the land, that ye would even now be visited with utter destruction. And I think about that last verse, that maybe this land even now would be visited with destructions if it were not for the prayers of the righteous. And it's not just the prayers of this church. There are many people who are searching for the truth and who are striving for righteousness in this land of iniquity. And perhaps even now we would be brought down to destruction if it were not for their prayers and our prayers. We consider ourselves to be the Lord's people, and I believe that we are the Lord's people. And, you know, we don't really have a voice that can be heard in this nation. We have very little influence or control over the daily affairs of this country. As I see it, we can only control our own conduct. And we know that the Lord commands that his people continue in their obedience to him no matter what the rest of the country does. He expects us to continue in obedience to his commandments no matter what comes on this country or what direction this country might take. And the reason for that is because he does not change. This nation has changed. The things that are tolerated and accepted as normal and righteous, we find to be abominations. And the Lord does not change. Those, what was an abomination in the day of Noah or in the day of Lot or 100 years ago is still an abomination to the Lord. And it doesn't matter what the people of this nation say or what our leaders say. We need to stay true and faithful and trust in the Lord that he is guiding us in his way. Most of my readings tonight have been in the Book of Mormon, probably because of the subject matter and the fact that we're talking mostly about this land. But I'd like to go to Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I'd just like to read verses 13 through 15. Verses 13 to 15. And I believe he's speaking to the people he considers to be his people here. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His Spirit works within us that we find that desire not only to desire or to will to do his, to keep his commandments, but to do them. You're familiar with those famous that famous verse in the Book of Mormon that talks about all the things that the Lord is and does, and the things that he commands us to do. And he says, if you believe these things, see that you do them. And that's the commandment of the Lord to his people. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And aren't we commanded to do that? In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we are still commanded to shine as lights in this world. We're not to hold our lights under a bushel, but to put them up on a candlestick and let the world see them, whatever the reaction might be. We will always have our free agency, but because of that Holy Spirit that works within us, that each one of us possesses, you know, we need to cultivate a strong desire to choose to keep the Lord's commandments and to choose not to sin. And in order to maintain this determination that we have for righteous living, it requires continual prayer on our part. I know that I could never repent and stay true to the Lord if I didn't have the avenue of prayer to ask for his forgiveness, to ask for his leading, that I might turn away from those things that are offensive to him. In the third chapter of Nephi, the third book of Nephi, chapter 8, verse 47, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And isn't that true? If we don't watch and pray always, we fall prey. We fall prey to the wiles of the devil. and we are led away captive by him. We know that the adversary is working very hard on the Lord's people in these last days. We spoke of this this morning in our Sunday school class at the East Local, and Brother Harvey Leon made the comment that the adversary takes no days off. You know, snow days, doesn't matter. He works every day. And if we aren't watching and praying always, we lend ourselves vulnerable to his wiles. And we can never overestimate his ability to mislead us enough, because he's working very hard at it. Well, as you've probably figured out by now, I have a great fear for this nation. And I'm saddened by what we've come to. I think often of, I can't remember when it was, probably several years ago, Brother Randy started out one of his sermons by saying, "This nation, brothers and sisters, this nation is in trouble." And he went on from there. And those words have stayed in my mind, and I think of them a lot, because this nation is in trouble. I think of, I digress here, but I think of my dad, my earthly father. Brother Wheaton isn't here tonight, but he knows what I speak of. My dad was a navigator on a B-17 bomber in World War II. And on one of his missions over Germany, they had dropped their bombs and they were on their way back to England, but they were shot down. His bomber B-17 was shot down by fighter pilots over Holland. And my dad and his crew, they landed their plane. It was kind of a crash landing, but they landed it in a field or something. And they were taken captive by the Germans. And I think of the things that he and his crew endured in a prison camp for, I think it was about the last 9 months of the war. They escaped once and were out, you know, trying to find their way back to England, and most of them, except maybe a couple of them, were rounded up, and my dad was rounded up and taken back to prison, and they endured all kinds of hardship, a forced march in the middle of the winter, with shoes that didn't fit and frostbite, but they did it for this land, you know, and the people that the men that fought in World War II have been called the greatest generation, and I don't necessarily believe that, but you know, they believed in this land, and they were fighting for a cause, and they were fighting for the freedom and liberty of this nation. I hate to think of what some of those men must think of when they see what this nation is becoming. I wouldn't say that they would think that what they fought for was not worth it, or that their time was wasted. I know they wouldn't think that. And you know, my dad always said that, you know, this country doesn't owe him anything. He fought because he loved this country. He loved the freedom and liberty that this country has. But he wouldn't agree with the fact that liberty means the freedom to do anything that you want to do. And that seems to be kind of where we're coming to these days. But I digress. What lies ahead for this nation, the Lord's choice land, if the Gentiles continue in iniquity and disobedience to God, and to me it appears that that's the way we're headed. What lies ahead? Well, the scriptures tell us. Let's turn to Ether again in chapter 1. This is on page 717, and again, very familiar words that I don't think we can hear often enough. Page 717, I'm going to quickly read verses 30 through 35. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared, that whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. There's those words again. And only the Lord knows when we are fully ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off. For it is the everlasting decrees of God. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness be come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land hath hitherto done. And we know what happened to the Jaredites, what happened to the Nephites, and how the Lamanites have fallen into darkness. It was because they became fully ripened in iniquity. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven. And here's the biggest word in the whole reading: if. If they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which hath been manifested by the things which we have written. The God of this land is Jesus Christ. And how often do we see different organizations, even sometimes our own government, attempting to minimize the Lord Jesus Christ, or to even expel him from this land or from our institutions. The Lord has promised deliverance to his people if we humble ourselves, if we repent of our sins, and if we continue in obedience to his word, no matter what comes upon this land. He requires that we, as his people, be different, that we be his peculiar people. We must not allow ourselves to blend in and to partake of the things of this world. And we know that sometimes we do that. Sometimes that seems to be the easiest thing to do, but the Lord does not command that. He does not want us to blend in. He does not want us to partake of the things of this world. And I know sometimes that's always a game we play with we play among ourselves or with ourselves. What is it okay to do, and was it, you know, is this okay or is that okay? And I think in our hearts we usually know the answer to that. You know, we can see all around us the signs that are given in the scriptures of the soon return of the Lord. You know, our sister lady down in Yucatan, had her experience with a visitor, you know, a heavenly visitor that told her of this as well as other things, that, you know, all you have to do is look around you. The signs are everywhere of the things that are written in the scriptures that tell us that the Lord's return is soon. And we were also admonished that we need to get into the scriptures more. We need to get into the Word of God and study and make ourselves aware of these things. So, you know, the time is short of the Lord's return, and there's no time, we have no time left for complacency or procrastination. There's no time. We have to make up our minds to choose to do the Lord's will, to choose not to sin, and to be an example to others. That's all we can do. You know, we can't change the things that are happening in this land, in the government, in the way people believe, but we can choose to be true and faithful to the Lord's will and to be good examples to those we meet and do our little part. I'd like to turn to another familiar verse in Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, speaking directly to us, verses 4 and 5. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Isn't that us? And we know what he's speaking of. He's speaking of Babylon, the things of this world. That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Because we know that the plagues are coming. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Some more familiar words from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Words directly aimed at us. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? We need to remember, if we're not keeping the Lord's commandments as we should, we need to remember that judgment will begin at the house of God. I got a couple of scriptures to close with, but there's a couple of places in, I guess in Matthew and, no, I'm not sure. Matthew and Luke, I think, where it says that, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Lord is revealed. I'm kind of just paraphrasing here. But if it will be as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, it's going to be that way when the Lord appears. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'll see that maybe a lot of what we're seeing in this nation, the Lord was seeing when things were fully ripe, before he sent the flood upon the earth, before he led Noah or led Lot out of Sodom. You know, I think we have a refuge to look forward to also You know, the Lord doesn't bring judgment upon the wicked until he delivers, provides a way of deliverance for the righteous. And I think what we look forward to in our time is that refuge of Zion. You know, we don't know how or when, how the Lord's going to bring it about, but I'm feeling a need for a place of refuge where the wicked will have no place. And hopefully, I hope to be worthy to be a resident of that place. I'd just like to leave you with a couple of scriptures. Again, in the Book of Mormon, in 1 Nephi chapter 7, on page 75. 1 Nephi chapter 7, page 75. And these are lest you feel like this has been a terribly negative sermon, I'd like to leave you with some words of hope and optimism. And I'd like to read on page 75, verses 33 through 43. Verse 33. For the day soon cometh, that all the proud and they which do wickedly shall be as stubble, and the day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come, yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come, and it must needs be upon the face of this earth. And it cometh unto men according to the flesh, if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For behold, the righteous shall not perish. For the time surely must come that all they which fight against Zion shall be cut off, and the Lord will surely prepare a way for his people. He will prepare a way for his people, as he always has. And I'd like to leave you with 2 Nephi chapter 8 on page 120. 2 Nephi chapter 8, page 120, verses 66 through 70. 66 through 70. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. I think that branch of the Lord is referring to this Church of Christ, the sanctified Church of Christ. The branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, the fruit of the earth excellent and comely to them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass, them that are left in Zion and remain in Jerusalem shall be called holy, every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory of Zion shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle, for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and a covert from storm and from rain. I thank you for your kind attention this evening, and It's been my pleasure to be here among you. I love my brothers and sisters, and it's always so wonderful to be here in the presence of the saints. And I hope that this sermon hasn't been taken as a downer and a negative message, because that's not the way I believe it is. We know. I didn't have to read these scriptures to you tonight. You've already read them. You know the things that are coming upon the land. You know that there's a time of tribulation ahead. We don't know when. I suspect it's probably soon. We need to prepare ourselves. If we have things in our lives that aren't right, we need to repent and repent soon. We need to choose to keep the Lord's commandments because of his love for us, and because of his grace for us, because of our willingness to be his obedient servants. We need to do it soon. And if not just for ourselves, so that we can be an example to others, because there are others out there that are hungering and thirsting for the truth. We don't always know where they are, but you know, by the example that we set, it seems like we always come upon someone that we can witness to, even if it's just by the example that we set or the things that we do. There's always someone who's looking for truth. So again, I feel that this is a message of hope for us and for his people and for all those that are searching. And I pray that the Lord will bless us. May God bless each one of you in the days ahead, and may we all strive to be better servants of the Lord.